That's fine with the city. Father, for the privilege that we may come to worship you. Father, we're offering something to you. We want to give you more than just this money that we have. We want all of our life to you. We want to be a living sacrifice that is pure and healthy. And we thank you for you. Heavenly Father, the God of life, the Lord, that we may commit to you, we may humble before you and live for you. Thank you, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
No, my letters today have to do with what it says up here. You know, I think there's something to keep for the future too. You know, when people come in, you know, this is the love that Jesus has for us. He knows our past. He knows where we've been. He knows what we do in our own lives. But He just wants us. It's just like,
we in our lives. I'm going to feel empty. We don't know what to do. We fail. We feel like we're losing something in life. We feel upset. We feel bitter. And we recognize how unjust the world is. We feel pain. We feel lonely. We feel unloved. We feel like standing by ourselves in this cold, cruel world. We feel hopeless. We feel like we'll never make it in life. I feel like it's helping. You can never get out of it. You don't know where to turn in the world to go. What to do in the sky.
Does that ever feel this way?
You know, it's like this man that fell down the hole. You know where you will be 5 years from now. You know where you will be 10 years from now. You know what college you'll be going to. You know what job you'll have. You know if you're going to be satisfied with your job. You know if you'll ever find that perfect mate that you're speaking of. You know, if you'll be satisfied with your life 20 years from now. No. There are things that many of us wonder about. We don't know where we're going. You know, we feel like, you know, yeah, I have my mind, yeah, this is what I will do. And once I do this, I will be satisfied. And then we get there and we realize, you know, we're not really satisfied yet. They want us to be satisfied. They know our life story. You know their past. You know where you've been. You know what you did yesterday, you know what you did at home this week, you know what you did on your computer, you know what you did at school, you know what you did. He's not concerned about what you did yesterday. He's not concerned about anything wrong you've done. He's not concerned about what you did and where we're going in the future. And I want to point to this story. And most of you have probably heard of this story. It's called the story of the prodigal son. The King James version was called the lost. This guy, he is one of the sons of his father. You know, and back in those days, I don't know, it should still be the same today, but I don't know, a lot of rebellion in the family nowadays, so it's a little different. But basically, the children depended on the father. The father was given all the riches. And his father was a rich guy. He had millions, billions of dollars, many servants. And even the servants were well fed. Very rich family. But this guy, he said, "Father, I want to do what I want. Give me my share. I'm going to go do what I want." And then what does this loving father do? He doesn't say, "Oh, you know, you have all you want, so I want you to stay. I know what's best for you to go stay." What he does is, he says, "All right, I'll give you what you want. But I love you. I don't want to let you go, but I'll go ahead and get out there." And he gave him the riches. You know, this is the funny thing. This is the younger son. Back in those days, the oldest son is all the estate of the father. The younger son really doesn't get anything. But this guy, he looks a little bit abnormal, a little bit different. Because the family, he wants to rely on the father to live. But this guy, he said, "I want to go try my own thing. Father, will you let me?" Actually, he didn't say, "Will you let me? I'm going to go anyway, you know. You know, give me my money. Let me go." So there was that warmth. Right? He had something in his mind. He thought, "I can do this." And he looked at verse 12 and 13, the young woman to the father, "Father, give me my share of your estate." What did the father property, so he divides his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all the rent, put all the rent into the country, and there is founded a growth in the point of living. You know, this is kind of like our attitude sometimes towards God. You know, the way that God designed us, starting from Adam and Eve, he gave Adam and Eve perfect perfection, right? A place where, you know, he could eat whatever he wants, to talk with the animals, perfect. Okay. But then, what happened? He started to go to his thing, driving that apple that the apple wanted to, that fruit. And it's the same thing now in our minds. Our motives are not that much different than Adam and Eve, right? We sometimes want to say, no, I want to do what I want. You know, sometimes to our parents, but think of sometimes to God. We don't really think about God too much. Sometimes we're thinking about, hey God, I want to do it this way, you know? Hey God, you know, I know your Bible, your word says this. Don't lie, don't steal, don't hurt others, love others. But Lord, for once, I'm going to just do it for me. You know, we have that same thing. You know, we say to me like, God, I want that knife. I want that food. I want that car. I want to get into that school. I want to be married by, I don't know, what age. I want to be married by 30. You know, I want to be pleasured by the things on the internet. I want perfect grades. I want a perfect face. I want a perfect body. I want, I want, I want. Now, it's the same kind of attitude that this young man shows. And he looks relates to. And then, verse 14. After he has meant everything, I'm sorry, it's not in your room. I actually showed this verse to you, but the story actually expands from verse 11 through 20, actually, all the way to the end of the chapter. But anyway, after he had spent everything, verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to feed. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So, go back to this. This guy, who was in a family of rich father, but he instead started working. He had to work to survive. So God's talking about it's a temporary pleasure. You know, we think when we get something that we're going to be pleased, we're going to be satisfied, we think we can go along with that, but it only leads to temporary filling. Let me ask you this. So what if we get that guy? No. So what if we get best grades and become valedictorian and go to the best college? You know, you think that it has some good ramifications. You know, you go to Harvard, you get your 4.0 GPA, you think you're going to be so successful and satisfied in life? Not true. No. I'll just talk personally. You know, you won't find too many 28-year-olds with a doctorate degree with a position of being a manager. You know, many people look at my life and say, you know, how'd you get there? You know, what did you do? You know, aren't you satisfied? But you know, the true satisfaction is, oh my God. Not really. I've never been satisfied at work, you know, because at work, you know, though I'm at the time position, I'm talking to the directors of the company. But, you know, that's not what satisfies me. That's not what gives me pleasure. You know, so what if you go to, if you get this car, or if you get, you know, perfect body? Yeah, people will admire you at that time. You know, sure, temporary. Not everything. So this guy, his son, went out. He's thinking, he thought that when he goes out with his money, he thought he would be satisfied. He realized it's not. He realized it's good. Then verse 17:9 goes, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to call your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. So he realized this wasn't the life that he wanted. He realized the best life is to father. Father wouldn't care for him. He realized that. And for all the people that say, it's not about the life we live. It's not about, you know, how we want to live our lives. God, a better life planned out for us. But we need to trust him. We need to turn away from our own ways and then let the rule of our lives be the rule of our lives. No, this guy, he tried to live the life that he wanted. He just led him to what? Frustrations, right? Aimlessness, fears, disappointment. feelings of regret, hopelessness.
Can you guys relate to that?
In our lives. And then, just continuing on the point, but while he was still a long way off with his son, his father saw him, filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Think about it this way. This guy, his son, he ran away from home, took much of the father's money. No, he wasn't allotted any of it. You know, he did wrong to his father. What did the father do? Running with compassion, right? And then verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fat cow and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So he began to celebrate. God doesn't care. His father didn't care. Where this guy was, where this little son was for the past many years that it was not that he spent his money for the place. He said, I'm just glad you're back. Glad you're back. Welcome. I should be to you. No, back in, even there was this guy named Keith Green. He was actually older than my time. He passed away at the time that I was born or something. My understanding. So he wasn't strong, though they were old. It had so much meaning to me when I was younger. And I'm going to show you part of the song because the song actually spent for like 10 minutes. But, this guy did a video. Some other guy used this thing and did a video of it. I think he explains the story of the prodigal son through the song.
I was behold, I love the hour.
I want to
And you guys are welcome to feel alone and feel alone in this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the forgive those who judge against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For many of you that are the Jesus today, or are coming to the last today, I'm going to make this form right here in the front, next to the offering basket. I want you to fill it out on your own for it. I'm not going to force you. Go ahead and fill it out.
Thank you.